Haridas Thakur, leaving. Oh, Prabhu, if you do that, I will have to leave the temple. Yeah. Sorry. At least I noticed it with my eyes before I noticed it with my nose. I'm sorry, I'm really super, super hyper. If you please take that whole thing out. Yeah. That stuff is super toxic. By the way, they make brass cleaners that aren't toxic. And that you can wash off with water and don't poison you. Maybe I can help you get some. At least I made it in America. Called Rights, the company's Rights, W-R-I-G-H-T. I'm sensitive to poisons. I'm hypersensitive. So Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Bhakti Sram Bhava, Tadu Chante, Tam Tam Yama Chikante, Sadatam Bhava. Now, whatever.
Can someone open a window, please?
I know it's cold. So here's Krishna giving the theory in the 8th chapter, and then here we have a devotee giving a practical demonstration. I see she read it with me. Okay.
How to lead one's body in pure Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, you can close. Thank you. Some people start with text 16. We'll start with text 11. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri with his personal devotees and enjoyed the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In the daytime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in dancing and chanting and seeing the temple of Lord Jagannath. At night, in the company of his most confidential devotees such as Ramananda Roy and Sarva Damodara Goswami, he tasted the nectar of the transcendental mellows of Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happily passed his days in this way in Nilachala, Jagannath Puri. Given separation from Krishna, he exhibited many transcendental symptoms all over his body. Day after day, the symptoms increased, and at night they increased even more. All these symptoms, such as transcendental anxiety, agitation, and talking like a madman, were present, just as they are described in the Shastras. So here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is exhibiting how to be a devotee of Krishna. So here he's showing how to be a devotee in the advanced stages of Raghunatha Bhakti. That during the day one chants Hare Krishna, during the night one meditates on Krishna's pastimes, and one exhibits transcendental symptoms of ecstasy, according to the Shastras. So Damodara Goswami and Ramananda Roy, the chief assistants in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, remain with him both day and night. So that not such worship is done in the association of devotees, and especially in the association of like-minded devotees, devotees of the same mentality. So this very deep behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not part of his public preaching. This was at a level of a private dealings with his intimate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting for us the path of Krishna consciousness. He exhibits the path of Krishna consciousness as a sadhaka following Vaidhi Bhakti, and also as a one day, Govinda, the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went in great jubilation to deliver the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food to Haridas Thakur. So this, of course, is so wonderful. Why did Govinda bring Lord Jagannath's remnants to Haridas Thakur? Why did Haridas Thakur just go and get them? He couldn't enter the temple. And Sanatana Goswami also couldn't enter the temple because they had served the Mohammedans. And they did not have a mood of protesting. We do find that there's one devotee who had a mood of protesting, that's Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati. He very much had a mood of protesting. He was very openly initiating people who were not born in Brahmin families. He wasn't even initiating Westerners, I think he only had one or two Westerners. But still, it was such a huge to-do that the people in Vrindavan were throwing stones at his Sankirtan party. So certainly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and what to speak of Srila Prabhupada, who brought Westerners to India, and had the Westerners there as teachers of the Brahmanas. And of course, we see in our Sankirtan movement today, I know quite a number of people who were born in Brahmin families, very high lineages, and practicing Brahmin families who were initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, who become disciples of Western gurus. Now, it's quite interesting. And you see, often of Western gurus who are younger than them. So there'll be this elderly Brahmana who's been, you know, reciting the whole Bhagavad Gita since they were 5 years old, kind of thing, you know, been trained up in the Madhva Sampradaya, who have a Shalagam Shila that's been worshipped in their family for generations and generations. And they're taking Diksha from a white-bodied guru, 30 years their junior. And it's quite interesting, actually, to see this phenomenon. So this was very much the revolutionary spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada. We find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, however, there was a limit as to how much they were challenging the status quo. We find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example, generally only ate at the houses of Brahmins, for example. And his
Devotees like Haridas Thakur didn't challenge the status quo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't challenge the status quo and said, you know, you should let one devotee into the temple, even though he was widely recognized in Puri as the Navacharya. Have you ever noticed that he's the only devotee who mentioned the Prema Dwani prayers? Anybody ever noticed that? There's so many devotees, and he's the only one that we mentioned. So, therefore, Krishna came to see him. The Prabhupada says, don't try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. He said, we should try to be recognized by Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the root of our anarthas is the desire for him. Yeah, just that for fame, for recognition. We want to be special. So sometimes devotees just try to stop that desire. Stopping desires is what? Philosophy. Impersonalism, yes. Stopping desires is impersonalism. So what desire should we have? We should transform it into what? That desire for participation. We all have it. I mean, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakura, if he's correct, then we all have that desire. Unless the root of all of our inheritance. So if someone says, no, I don't have that desire, then it's quite interesting. So what should we transform that into? To glorify Krishna? Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says we should try to be recognized by Krishna. Does that? Very, very clearly, we should try to be recognized by Krishna. So don't act so that you want to see Krishna, act so that Krishna will see you, that Krishna will recognize you. And he'll say, hey, come here. I noted your devotion. Right? The boss notices that some employee is making a lot of sales, so he calls that employee into his office. So if you want to see the boss, you have to make a lot of sales, right? Just knocking on the boss's door may not get you in. Who are you? Right? But if you make the most sales in the company, you've got some innovation, you save the company $30,000 or something, 30,000 euros, then the boss will call for you. So Haridas Thakur, he couldn't go see Jagannath, so Jagannath came to him every day. At first Govinda would bring the prasadam, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would personally visit. He would also visit when Sanatana would go bring Jagannath, he would also come and visit them. When Govinda came to Haridas, he saw that Haridas Thakur was lying on his back and chanting his rounds very slowly. That's not the usual way we chant japa. Sometimes, yes. When do we chant japa like that? If we're what? Really sick. Right? If we're really, really sick, then we're chanting lying in bed very, very slowly. Has anyone ever had to chant like that? Has anyone ever had to chant like that? Please rise and take your Mahaprasad, Govinda said. Haridas Thakur replied, today I shall observe fasting. I have not finished chanting my regular number of rounds. How many rounds did he chant? 192. He also preached. Who would he go out preaching with? Lord Nityananda. He would complain, though, to the Bhaktacharya about his son Kirtan partner. Do you know what he told to? He said to the Bhaktacharya. Nobody knows the complaints Haridas Thakur had about Lord Nityananda? No. He said, well, we go out on Sankirtan. What does Lord Nityananda do when we go out on Sankirtan? Jump in the Ganga and ride on the crocodiles. What else would he do?
He would ask a young girl if she would marry him.
Yeah, he'd go up to young girls and say, would you marry me? What else would he do? It was his idea. idea to approach Jagannath Madai.
But then, when Nityananda would go away, then the father would come and give trouble to Haridasa.
So, Lord Nityananda would ask the girls to marry him, and then the father would find out about it, and he would get angry. But Lord Nityananda wasn't there anymore, he would have run away. So Haridasa got all the blame for Lord Nityananda's behavior. And then he wanted to preach to Jagannath Madai, and Jagannath Madai started chasing them, you know, and they had to run for their life. They come back. Haridasa was complaining to him during the journey. I don't really know if I'm going to go on Sankirtan with his devotee anymore. He was a temple president, you know. He sent out a couple of devotees on the Sankirtan part. And one of them comes back with his complaint. So anyway, the point is he was also preaching, and you know, he held classes. Also when he was staying, we know that instance where he was preaching in the cave. And there was people coming to his classes complained about snake being in the cave. And Haridasa Thakura said, if you're there, you know, either you've got to leave or I've got to leave. He said, I don't mind you being here, but people aren't welcome to my classes, so I'm going to stay. Left. So somehow or other he had time to preach, but that's pretty difficult. How long does it take to chant 64? Some of you here, I assume, have chant 64 now, right? Any chant 64? But how long does that take? 6 to 8 hours. And there's 24 hours in the day. How many eights are in 24?
Three.
Okay. So, always nice to use the math we learned when we were kids. So, there's 3 eights in a day, and 192 is 3 times 64. Well, that's the whole day. If it's taking you 8 hours, chances. Well, even if it takes you 6 hours, let's say 6 hours. So 3 times 6 is 18. Only gives you 6 hours. It's not a whole lot of time. You know, and eating is going to take you at least half an hour. Bathing doesn't leave a whole lot of time for much else. So it's still, he was chanting 192 rounds, and he was also preaching. So he said, I've not finished chanting my regular number of rounds, how many can I eat? So I don't know, if he got Rusana at noon, he must not have, maybe he was behind on his rounds, because he couldn't wait until he finished the 192 eat and eat at noon, and eat at, eaten at noon, right? It doesn't make sense. But so maybe he got behind. Like, sometimes we find devotees get behind on their rounds. If there's a big festival. Sometimes the very day when we should chant more rounds. We're so busy running the festival and people are making up their minds. So that's not very good, but it happens sometimes. You should try to avoid it. I met one devotee recently who said she was 400 rounds from home. So don't do that. Mm-hmm. It says most important instruction of the spiritual master is to chant at least 16 rounds a day. So yeah, we should do it. And of course, sometimes people say, I have no time. What should be our response to
that? Cut down your sleeping and eating.
Cut down your sleeping and eating. So somebody says, well, I have health problems, I can't sleep less.
Eat less.
Any other suggestions? I don't think a lot of people will take that as very practical.
Use a clicker?
Huh?
Use a clicker?
Use a clicker. Any other suggestions? Yeah?
Talk less.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea. Any other suggestions?
Cut down on the internet.
Yeah.
Cut down on the internet. Okay. Or whatever it may be. Internet or whatever one's distractions. Cut down on your distractions. Not everybody uses the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a Stephen Covey. Where they do this thing. Have you ever seen that demonstration? Mm-hmm. You have sand and small rocks and big rocks and you try to put them into a jar. So if you put the sand in first, there's no way you can get everything else in. But if you put the big rocks in first, and then the little rocks, and then the sand, everything fits in the jar. So first take care of the big things. First take care of the big things. So what is the use of that name? What is the point? And what's the point even of living if you don't have any mission? What is the point? So that should be our main priority. I mean, obviously, sometimes there are actual emergencies. Like somebody may be sick in the hospital with a tube down the throat, you know, half conscious. Or you may be taking someone else to the hospital with a tube down the throat or something. You know, obviously, sometimes there are emergencies. Sometimes there are emergencies where we don't even need to sleep at all. I mean, that's what Prabhupada said. He said, if you're too busy to chant, you should also be too busy to eat and sleep. You know, if it's really an emergency that you have to make up your rounds, how do you know it's an emergency? You haven't had time to sleep that day. You haven't had time to eat that day. That happens sometimes, but not very often. How often do we have such an emergency that we can't eat or sleep? It may not even happen once a year, right? That's unusual. Unusual circumstance. So, of course, one thing that helps is waking up early in the morning. This devotee told me she had 400 rounds left. I said, why don't you try waking up early? Oh, I can't, this and that. I said, that might solve your whole problem. And after a couple of days of waking up early, she said, you know, it solved my whole problem. So that can be a big thing, because once the day starts crowding in on you, then you feel, I have to do this, you know, Roger becomes active, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do the other thing. And it's hard to sit down and just be with Krishna for most of the time. But it is possible. I mean, we know of people who chant 16 rounds. I know one mother of six who chant 16 rounds. You know, people who have very demanding jobs. So it certainly is possible. It certainly is possible. And, or what do, I had the great honor of editing the book Salted Bread. Have you read the book Salted Bread? So they were chanting 16 rounds. Hare Krishna. So I don't see how anybody, after reading that book, can say they have an excuse not to chant the prayers. I mean, those guys were beaten if they were caught chanting. They had no temple, they had no prasadam, they had no sadhusanga. No. They couldn't even have beans. They had to make beans out of bread, which was like a 3 or 4 day ritual. And then the beans would be taken away if they were caught with them. If they were caught chanting, they'd be beaten. I mean, really beaten, not just like a little slap. And they'd have to keep really, really small beans, sometimes just 9 beans, and hide them so they wouldn't be caught chanting. And still, they chanted 16 pounds a day. Even when they were put in the psychiatric hospital and injected with psychotropic drugs. So imagine if you were given forced intoxication that put their bodies in pain and made their minds disordered, and still they were chanting. So, yeah. Yes. I mean, obviously, sometimes there are emergencies. But this was his response. Prabhupada said that if there is some emergency, then you should give up eating and sleeping the next day and make up your minds. So this was what Haridas Thakur was doing. He said, I have not finished chanting my regular number of rounds. How then can I eat? But you have brought Mahaprasad, and how can I neglect it? Saying this, he offered prayers to the Mahaprasad, took a little portion, and ate it. Mahaprasad is none different from Krishna. Therefore, instead of eating Mahaprasad, one should honor it. It is said here, Karila Vandana, he offered prayers. And taking Mahaprasad, one should not consider the food ordinary preparation. Prasad means favor. One should consider Mahaprasad a favor of Krishna. The state of Vaishnava Bhakti Mahatakura, Krishna Bhada Nayamaya Kali Bhada Jiva Jaya, Swaprasad Nadiva Maya. Krishna is very kind. In this material world, we are all very attached to tasting various types of food. Therefore, Krishna eats many nice varieties of food and offers the food back to the devotees. So that not only are one's demands for various tastes satisfied, but by eating prasad, he makes advancement in spiritual life. Therefore, we should never consider ordinary food on an equal level with Mahaprasad. So this, of course, I've been talking about, take to this in depth, but this doesn't just apply to food. This applies to everything that Krishna has given us. Everything. We have desires. We have results. We have desires. Those desires in this world can manifest to a large extent in terms of the body and mind. We want to taste different food. We want to have comfortable clothes. There's so many things that we want to have. And Krishna very, very kindly gives us those things in a way that satisfies our desires and also helps us to advance in His service. And therefore we should see everything that Krishna has given us as His prasad. Everything that He's given us is His prasad, and we honor it. We honor the fact that Krishna is giving me a way to fulfill even my material desires, a desire for different tastes, with the tongue, with the material bodies, and material desires. And Krishna has given me a way even to fulfill my material desires, such that instead of becoming entangled, I become closer in affection to Him. I've mentioned this, that Bhaktisiddhanta says this in the Bhagavad-gita, that in this way one spiritualizes everything in the world. There's nothing material anymore if you see things like that. So this one is not just enjoying, one is then honoring everything that we are then honoring that this is Krishna's verse, this is Krishna's favor to me, that He's giving me something. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridasa's place and inquired from him, "Haridasa, are you well?" So how concerned is Lord? So this whole story really is a story of the deep love between the Lord and His servant. And Prabhupada said that we should also be like this if devotees are sick. And sometimes devotees get sick. I remember when I first joined the movement, after a few months, I got a strep throat. You know what that is? Yeah. A very bad bacterial infection in the throat. It's extremely painful. So I wasn't able to leave my room. And I wasn't actually able to sit up. And practically nobody came to see me. I mean, I remember going for at least a day without water. So that was, somehow if you're not there doing service, people tend to forget about you. But of course, Krishna doesn't forget about you. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came personally to see Haridasa. Are you all right? Are you well? Haridasa offered his obeisances to the Lord and replied, "My body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well." So this is very interesting. Right? He was seeing it as a defect in his mentality, even though the situation was just that he was becoming old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired from Haridasa, "Can you ascertain what your disease is?" Haridasa Thakur replied, "My disease is that I cannot complete my vows." And he was saying the opposite, how most of us see. Right? You see, "Oh, my body's sick, that's my problem." And Haridasa said, "No, my problem is I can't finish my rounds." Purport, if one cannot complete the fixed number of rounds he is assigned, he should be considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life. Srila Haridasa Thakur is called Namacharya. Of course, we cannot imitate Haridasa Thakur, but everyone must chant a prescribed number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have fixed 16 rounds as the minimum, so that the Westerners will not feel burdened. These 16 rounds must be chanted and chanted loudly so that one can hear himself and others. Now that you become old, the Lord said, you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. He uses the word sankhya alpa. You can count just a little. You are already liberated, and therefore you need not follow regular principles very strictly. He says, siddhadeya to me. You already have your siddhadeya. Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, he must follow the regular principles. Haridasa Thakur was a living example of how to follow the regular principles. Similarly, Raghunath Goswami was also such a living example. Sad Goswami Astika, it is stated, Sankhya Purva Kanama Gana Nandhi Kala Vanas Kala Vasani Krito. The Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, strictly follow all the regular principles. The first regular principle is that one must chant the Hare Krishna mantra loudly enough so that he can hear himself, and one must vow to chant a fixed number of rounds. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting a fixed number of rounds, he had also taken a vow to bow down many times and offer obeisances to the Lord. Prabhupada said Raghunath Goswami was doing Dandavat Parakram. And this is interesting. I was just recently talking to Shiva Ramaswami, and he was saying how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were pretty much all niches to the devotees. He's saying, but this time he said, we're not even sadhakas. We're sadhaka vas. He said, we're just shadows of sadhakas. And I said, how is that? And he said, well, the real sadhaka is Raghunath Das Goswami. So here Prabhupada is also saying, these are the actual sadhakas, Haridasa Thakur and Raghunath Das Goswami. So compared to them, Mostly those are just shadows of sadhakas. And we're not. Generally, in our Hare Krishna movement, we're not chanting 192 rounds. And offering 2,000 obeisances every day. Raghunath Das Goswami's practices were compared to. Lines in stone. Lines in stone. So how many people have sadhana like that? It's like a line in stone. That's like a line in stone. So Prabhupada's very kind, even though we can't follow such sadhana. These are the examples of sadhana. Anybody ready to follow Raghunath Das Goswami's sadhana? I don't think we would have much of a worldwide preaching movement. If that was the kind of sadhana we insisted on. We have already enough time as it is, right? Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. Aryadas Thakur is known as Namacharya because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinam, the holy name of God, by using the word Tomara Avatar, your incarnation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Aryadas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of God in his mission, and that such devotees or personal associates incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Aryadas Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations to help in the prosecution of the Lord's mission. So that means we can also assume that some people right now to the Prabhupada's mission have come here specifically to assist him. And I can think of a few people who are pretty much definitely in that category. So Sai Prabhupada said that the demigods are lining up to take birth in this movement. So some of the people coming here, they're actually the demigods. The Lord continued, now therefore, please reduce the fixed number of times you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Aryadas Thakur replied, kindly hear my real plea. So here you see, this is a sweet relationship. And sometimes Prabhupada says the Lord orders and the devotee obeys. But you see that that's not exactly what's going on here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the instruction. Twice he's giving this instruction. Please chant fewer rounds. And Aryadas Thakur is saying, that's not what I want to do. I want to do something else. So the idea of obedience, well, obedience has to be there. We're also talking about relationship. The devotee wants to please the Lord, and the Lord wants to please the devotee. So what does Aryadas Thakur really want? He says, I was born in an inferior family, and my body is most abominable. I always engage in low work. Therefore, I am the lowest, most condemned of men. I am unseeable and untouchable. Okay, so we talked about this quite a bit yesterday, looking at the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how this sort of self-abasing mood is actually one of ecstasy. And we'll see that here as he continues. Please note that whenever the devotees speak like this, they also say something else, which he's going to say here now. But you have accepted me as your servant. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. My dear Lord, you are the fully independent personality of Godhead. You act by your own free will. You cause the whole world to dance and act as you like. My dear Lord, by your mercy, you have made me dance in many ways. For example, I was offered the Shraddhapatra that should have been offered to first-class brahmanas. I ate from it, even though I was born in a family of mediums. So this, the very humble mood of the devotee is mixed with an appreciation for the Lord's mercy. And I've given this example before, I'm not sure if I've given it here, but let's say that you have 5 euros, and you go out to the shop, and you buy something worth 5 euros. How do you feel? You have 5 euros, and you buy something that's worth 5 euros. How do you feel?
Satisfied.
Good. So, suppose I go to the store with 5 euros, I buy something, I find find out it's only worth 2 euros. How do I feel?
Chiricamas.
Upset. Suppose I go to the store with 5 euros, I buy something that I find out is worth 100 euros. How do I feel? Very fortunate, right? Suppose I get something worth 100 euros and I pay nothing. How do I feel? Do you all like gifts? Everybody like gifts? Everybody like presents? Right? The degree of happiness we feel with something is directly proportionate to how unworthy we feel to receive it. The degree of happiness we get from something is directly proportionate to how unworthy we feel to receive it. The more you feel that you've earned something, the less happiness you feel with the thing. And if you get something you think is less than you deserve, you feel very unhappy. So the higher our opinion of ourselves, and the higher our opinion of what we deserve, the more unhappiness we feel. The more anger and frustration we feel. So this humility of the devotees is an impetus to their great joy. Because they're having both. They're feeling that I've gotten the greatest thing. I've gotten something that the value cannot be placed upon it. I've gotten something that's more valuable. If you had all the riches of the planet at your disposal, if you were, you know, as a million times richer than Bill Gates, even then you wouldn't own all the resources of this one planet. But to get love of God, to get service to Radha Krishna, is so much more valuable than all of the riches of this one little planet, of this little tiny universe of four-headed Brahma. So you're getting all these riches, and the more you think that you're undeserving and you have nothing, the more happiness you have with those riches. So when the devotees speak like this, they're not just saying it. They're not just saying it, and they're not depressed. And I see often devotees imitate that part, but they don't take the other part. You know, I'm all so low, I'm so fallen. But they're also saying, but I've been given this service. Even though I'm so low and fallen, I've been given this service. So that is the mood of the devotees. With everything that we're given, our opportunity to serve, the prasada we get to meet, the company that we get, you should think, is there any way that I deserve this good fortune? I have had one desire for a very long time. I think that quite soon, my Lord, will bring to a close your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes before the time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. O most merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, kindly grant my desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make possible this perfection of all my desires. So our philosophy is not, again, that we have no desires. The devotee also has desires. The devotees have desires. And Pariyasa were saying, I've had this desire for a very, very long time. What does a pure devotee do with their desires? No, if you're how?
Dovetailing
in service. And what does a devotee, how do they try to fulfill their desires?
Asking Krishna.
Exactly. Asking Krishna. Even the beginning devotees who may have selfish desires ask Krishna. Like we read about Vamadeva, Aditi was going to ask Krishna, you know, please save my children. They ask Krishna. They have a mood of dependence on Krishna. They have a mood of dependence on Krishna. They don't do anything separate from Krishna. Dependence on Krishna means Krishna can say no. Like there's this book about husband-wife relationships, and it says, says, how should women ask for things from their husband? So he gives all this advice. And he says, the most important thing is that if the husband says no, you say, okay, and you smile. Otherwise, the person is not an authority. Right? Krishna is the transcendental autocrat. If he can't say no, then how is he the authority? So the devotee goes to Krishna with his desires and says, Krishna, this is my desire. If you want, you can fulfill it. If you don't want, fine. That's up to you. And of course, then Krishna will fulfill the desires of the devotee, Prabhupada says, in a wonderful way, even if it's a selfish desire. Prabhupada says that Krishna will feel it and fulfill it in such a way that you'll be completely satisfied. You'll never need to ask for that desire again. You'll feel completely satisfied, and you'll go back to Mahavakta. Says that many places. Said, better to approach Krishna only with spiritual desires. That's it. But if you have some material desire, ask Krishna. And ask Krishna, please fulfill this in such a way that brings me closer to you. He'll fulfill this in such a way that will be pleasing to you. And then Prabhupada says he will do that and take you back to Godhead also. But of course, Arjuna does have a good desire here. It's a purely spiritual desire. He's saying, this is how I want to die. But that is a personal desire. That is a personal desire. Some devotees may not care how they die. Some devotees may just say, Krishna, wherever you arrange me, leave my body. I was talking to one devotee, Ms. Kha, the other day, about things about death. And this devotee said, I'm just waiting to see how Krishna arranges for me to die. I'm excited to see what kind of arrangement is he in. So, you know, that may be the mood of some people. Other people, Haridas Thakur had a very specific way that he wanted to leave his body. And he was asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will you please fulfill my desire? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, Krishna is so merciful that he must execute whatever you want. So this is Krishna's mood. Krishna wants to fulfill the desires of his devotees. And of course, Krishna will not fulfill desires of his devotees that will hurt them. Like if a three-year-old child says, Mommy, can I play with that sharp knife? The mommy's going to say no. But that's also the mommy's kindness. So if Krishna does say no to some of our desires, we should accept that as his kindness. Because Krishna likes, Brother Singh said it's his pastime to give his devotees benedictions. Krishna likes to fulfill even the material desires of his devotees. Even the devotees, he gets a lot of pleasure from that. So if we ask Krishna for something and he says no, we should understand that that's his kindness. Because he would never refuse to give us something unless that thing would be harmful. You know, would we really want Krishna to give us something that causes us great suffering? I mean, do we really want that? And can we see the future? No. Can we see what is really beneficial? So sometimes the things that we think would be good for us, Krishna knows that they wouldn't be, and therefore he says no. It's kindness. But Krishna likes to do that. He actually wants to fulfill the desires of his devotees. It's natural, isn't it? Isn't it natural? Like parents, they want to give their children what they want. Husband wants to give his wife what she wants. That boss wants to give the good employees, the faithful employees, what they want. Isn't that natural? You want to give your friends what they want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. It is not fitting for you to go away and leave me aside. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, of course, I'll do whatever you want, but what about me? What about me? I'll suffer in your absence. Catching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, do not create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show me this mercy. She said, don't pretend. I don't believe that my happiness, that your happiness is due to me. My Lord, there are many respectable personalities, millions of devotees, who are fit to sit on my head. They are all helpful in your pastimes. And this next verse is such a nice meditation. A nice meditation on who we really are. I mean, Haridas Thakur is saying this. My Lord, if an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, what is the loss in the material world? So generally, we think that everything we do is small and important. You know, how would things go on without us? But you know what? We're all going to die, and everything's going to go on. We'll be a little picture sitting on Vasasan for a day, and will be an excuse for people to eat some kulakshan. And I will be glad for that. And everything will come on. The significance of our life is how much we love Krishna. That's the significance of our life. How much each minute we are absorbed in love for Krishna, how much we help other people become absorbed in love for Krishna. But otherwise, we're very, very intimate. So how many people here know the name of their great-great-grandparents? Okay, that means our great-great-grandchildren will not know our names. And that's our own family. What to speak of anybody else? What to speak of what we've done? We want to know our names. That's the reality. Just like a little ant dies, nobody cares. Think like that. Then how appreciative can we be for whatever service and facility we're getting? We can't appreciate it if we think we're very important. It's just it's impossible. How should we fulfill our desire for being important? By wanting to be? When? Recognized by Krishna. If we try to fulfill our desire for being important by trying to make some false importance in this world, it will be very, very frustrating. How many people are famous after 2,000 years? Yeah. Few. Jesus. A few people. Most of the people who are still famous after 2,000 years, the only benefit they get from being famous is that people, you know, curse them that they have to learn their names for the history of them. So, you know, if you really get significant in the material world, then 2,000 years from now, some poor child will be memorizing your name for their history and say, I've been wishing that you never existed. Be happy when the exam is over so they can forget about it. That's 2,000 years. I don't think there's very many after 10,000. I mean, if we think about, you know, even the Bhagavatam, which they tend to start from me, what about all the lists of great personalities where we just list their name? Do we spend a whole lot of time on those lists? Anybody memorize those lists? And those are the greatest personalities in the universe. You get your name at the bottom of them. Pretty good stuff. But we don't even know who they are. We hardly pay any attention to them. So we all want to be significant. We all want to do something significant. Everybody wants to do something. Everyone wants to feel that their life has meaning, that their life has significance, that there's somebody who's important. Everybody wants. Why? Who do we want to really be important to? Krishna. And you know, we are important to Krishna. It's not something we have to achieve, it's just something we have to turn to. My Lord, you are always affectionate to your devotees. I am just an imitation devotee. But nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation. What a nice relationship. Because he had to perform his moon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to leave, but it was settled that the following day, after he saw Lord Jagannath, he would return to visit Haridas Thakur. After embracing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to perform his moon duties and went to the sea to take his bath. The next morning, after visiting the visit, he was afraid. Wouldn't that be nice to have Lord Chaitanya embrace you? The next morning, after visiting the Jagannath temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all his other devotees, came hastily to see Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees came before Haridas Thakur, who offered his respects and lotus feet to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, my dear Haridas, what is the news? Haridas Thakur replied, my Lord, whatever mercy you can bestow upon me. Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began great congregational chanting in the courtyard. He was also an example of how to help devotees sleep their body, engage in kirtan. The Keshwar Panthi was the chief dancer. Headed by Swami Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting. In chanting all the great devotees like Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five nouns. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. So actually, not only did the devotees love to glorify the Lord loves to glorify his name. That's the kind of recognition we should be seeing. That's what we should be looking for. That Krishna wants to glorify us. That Krishna takes happiness in saying something nice. We want to give Krishna that kind of happiness. And then all of our false, stupid, donkey urine desires will be disturbed. After hearing of the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, the non-envious nature of the devotees. Thakur Haridas made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him and how the Lord is reciprocating his devotee. And then he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his heart, and then took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. But a similar thing happens when Dhruva Maharaj leaves his body. When the airplane comes, he goes and he takes a bath. He wears precious gems. Prabhupada says, today we can't find precious gems, so we just wear tilak. And then he went and offered respect to all the sages there before getting on his plane. He wasn't proud thinking that, like, the airplane is coming. Right. So Haridas Thakur, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing him this mercy and glorifying him, he's taking the dust from all the devotees' feet and putting them on his head. He began to chant the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like the great mystic yogis, everyone remembered the passing away of Vishnu. So this happens even in a Hare Krishna movement. So if you haven't read Salted Bread, please read the book. And you can see how Saji Sutta leads his body. So it's very much like this. It's actually very, very. Any of you got to the end of the book? Yeah? You haven't got to the end yet. I won't spoil it for you. This is where he's leading his body. It's very, very, very much like this. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names. Hari and Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. How much the Lord loves his devotees. So Krishna can take unlimited love, but he also gives unlimited love. The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard with great ecstatic love. Because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless, and in ecstatic love, they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time, and then Swarupananda Goswami informed him of other rituals for the body of Thakur Haridas. So actually what it is when Krishna wants to engage in a different lila, his devotees say, hey, you know, it's time to do something else. The reciprocation of his desires. The body of Haridas Thakur was then raised onto a carrier that resembled an airship. I would like to see that. You know, there weren't like airplanes. And taken to the sea, accompanied by congregational chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the procession of the Keshwar Pandit, among the other devotees, chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea, so he's personally bathing the body that is behind him. And then declared, from this day on, the sea has become a great pilgrimage site. Lord Chaitanya himself was bathing there every day, but he considered it was a pilgrimage site because of his devotee rather than himself. Krishna also said this to Naladevara Manu. He said, you're so lucky you saw Narada Muni. He didn't say, you're so lucky you saw me. He said, you're so lucky you saw me. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and then they smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. After a hole was dug in the sand, the body of Haridas Thakur was placed in it. Remnants of Lord Jagannath, such as his silken robe, sandalwood pulp, fruit and cloth, were placed on the body. All around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting, and the Keshwar Pandit danced in jubilation. With his transcendental hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand, chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand, and constructed constructed a platform upon the slide. The platform was protected all around by fencing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted all around the platform, and as the holy name of Hari roared tumultuously, the whole universe became filled with a vibration. After Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water with great jubilations. Once devotees asked Prabhupada, can you go swim in the beach? Yes, Lord Chaitanya. After circling land landing the tomb of Hari Asankar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Simhadwara gate of the Jagannath Temple. The whole city chanted in congregation, the tumultuous sound vibrated all over the city. The whole festival, the whole city. And sometimes people do that nowadays for some mundane person. And when the prince is dying and dying, it's like that in London. And the whole city is having a festival. And just imagine a festival that God Himself is organizing a festival. Approaching, and this is also really funny, approaching the Simhadwara gate, Sri Chaitanya spread his cloth and began to beg prasad from all the shopkeepers that were just walking up to the spot, giving some alms, right? I am begging prasad for a festival, honoring the passing away of Haridas Thakur, who said, please give me alms. Hearing this, all the shopkeepers immediately came forward with big baskets of prasad, which they jubilantly delivered to Lord Chaitanya. However, Swarup Damodar stopped them, and the shopkeepers returned to their shops and sat down with their baskets. So what kind of relationship is this between the devotee or Swarup Damodar and Lord Chaitanya? I'd say, yeah, no, that's it. We have a better way to do it. Just calm down. Because the Lord is in so much ecstasy. He's just feeling so much love for our guests and for not being very practical. So our governor said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to his residence. We just go home. We don't manage this. Where is the Lord of the universe? And the devotee said, will you just go home? And the whole band said, so our governor said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to his residence. Don't try this. It's not so indicated. It's any why don't you tell me this is so Swarup Damodar, he kept with him four Vaishnavas and four servant carriers. Swarup Damodar, this is the Buddha, the very intimate devotees. They're not thinking Krishna is God, you know? Swarup Damodar is just thinking, why should he go to the trouble? I'll take care of it, I'll do work. Swarup Damodar said to all the shopkeepers, deliver to me four palmfuls of prasad from each and every item. In this way, varieties of prasad were collected and then packed up in different loads and carried on the heads of the four servants. Not only did Swarup Damodar Goswami bring prasad, but Vaidyanath Patanayaka as well as Kashi Mishra sent large quantities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit in rows and personally began to distribute the prasad assisted by four other men. This is actually how we should feel every time we take prasad. We should actually feel they personally arranged giving this whatever we have. Our donkeys and saris, our sweatshirts, our chadars, our watches, our food, our sleeping places, our chairs, our computers, our friends, our health, whatever health we have, whatever money we have, whatever talent we have, whatever creativity we have, whatever strength we have, whatever fame we have, whatever beauty we have, whatever anything we have, whatever nice family members we have. That Krishna's personally giving us, personally. He's personally making us. That's Krishna's mood. If we think like that, our whole lives become immediately transformed. And we see also the etiquette, how the most senior person is distributing the prasad. Remember years ago, I went with my son to Radhanagar Temple, I was 17 years old. And Mahadevi Swami said, why don't you come back tomorrow at noon for prasad? So we came back and he started serving us. I said, Maharaj, if I had known you were going to serve us, I wouldn't have come. He said, no, the Gaudiya Mata always is a sannyasi serving prasad. So, serving prasad is something that God Himself is serving prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not accustomed to taking prasad in small quantities. Uchara Chakravarti Thakur says that when the Love Yasoda's milk was on the stove and seeing Krishna breastfeed it from Love Yasoda, it was thinking Krishna's belly is unlimited. And Love Yasoda's milk is unlimited. And I'm never going to get a chance for service. And it was so in such ecstasy, it started dancing out of the pot. So Krishna's belly is unlimited. So he's not accustomed to eating this morning. He therefore put on each plate what at least five men could eat. So our daughter was going to request the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, please sit down and watch. With these men to help me, I shall distribute the prasadam. The four men, Swarup, Jagannanda, Kashisvara, and Sanghara, distributed the prasad continuously. All the devotees who sat down would not accept the prasad as long as the Lord had not eaten, so this is also right. On that day, however, Kashi Mishra had extended an invitation to the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want to eat because he was supposed to go to Kashi Mishra's house to eat. So he was waiting. He didn't want to go to Kashi Mishra's house with a full belly. You know, that happened to Jivasmuni, right? After Krishna ate that little bit from Dromani's pot, Jivasmuni and his, sometimes it's a 10,000, sometimes it's a 60,000 disciples, they all felt completely full. And they didn't want to offend Maharaj Yudhisthira. They figured if we go back to the hut, when we're full, we won't eat anything. This is a problem when you're a traveling preacher and people are offended if you don't eat. It's really hard not to become really fat. And at the same time, not offend anybody. So therefore, Kashi Mishra personally went there and delivered prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great affection and made it. So Kashi Mishra brought everything he would have fed Lord Chaitanya's house, and he said, here, you eat it here. That way all the devotees would eat. With Paramananda Puri and Ramananda Bharati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and accepted the prasad. When he began to eat, so did all the Vaishnavas. Everyone was filled up to the neck because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept telling the distributors, give that more, give that more. Actually, Krishna is trying to give us such mercy and such benedictions that we'll be completely filled up. After all the devotees finished accepting prasad and washed their hands and mouths, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decorated each of them with a flower garland and sandalwood palm. So the Lord went to each devotee and gave them a garland and sandalwood. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered a benediction to all the devotees, which all the devotees heard with great satisfaction. Anyone who was seeing the festival when Sri Haridas Thakur was passing away, anyone who was chanted and danced to, anyone who was offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who was joining this festival to partake of the prasad will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in saying Haridas Thakur. Be merciful upon me. This is what Chaitanya is again showing. This is the mood of the devotee. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desires, we have heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, the world was now bereft of this valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, say, all glories to Haridas Thakur. Jai, jai, Haridas, Bhari. Jai, jai, Haridas. Jai, jai, Haridas. Jai, jai, Haridas. Jai, jai, Haridas. And chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant, jai, 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 Haridas. Jai, jai, Haridas. Jai, 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 Haridas. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, to rest. Thus I have spoken about the victorious passing of Haridas Thakur. Anyone who hears this narration will certainly fix his mind firmly in devotional service to Krishna. Anyone who hears this word.